How do you pull off the impossible? How do you stop the spread of Ebola or vaccinate 900 million children in an incredibly narrow time frame? A good person to ask is Rajiv Shah, who was involved with both these efforts and more as president of the Rockefeller Foundation, a global institution with a mission to promote the well-being of humanity around the world. Rajiv is a graduate of the University of Michigan, the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, and the Wharton School, and he joins us now to share five big ideas from his new book, Big Bets: How Large-Scale Change Really Happens.
Hello, everyone. I'm Raj Shah. If you had told me when I was 17 years old, watching in awe as Nelson Mandela spoke to thousands of people in my hometown of Detroit, that I would go on to join large-scale efforts to fight hunger, improve public health, and expand energy access, I wouldn't have believed you. But over the course of my career in government and philanthropy, I've had the opportunity to be part of several such efforts. I call them big bets. A big bet is a bold, concerted effort to solve a problem, not just make incremental improvements. A big bet requires you to do three things: find fresh ideas or new technologies, form unlikely partnerships and alliances, and fiercely measure results. Today, I want to share a few of the lessons I've learned from the big bets I've worked on. Lesson one, a big bet mindset can help actually solve many of the tremendous challenges we face today, but it can also serve as an antidote to cynicism, the cynicism that curtails our ambitions and makes us powerless. When people try to tackle some of the big challenges we face, there is a natural tendency to feel small or powerless relative to the scale of what we're up against: fighting climate change, eradicating poverty, overcoming a pandemic. I call that feeling the aspiration trap. It leads people to aim too low or settle for the idea that doing good is good enough. This book is your ticket out of that trap. It shows you large-scale change really is possible with big bets that drive you to find new solutions, make unlikely partnerships happen, and measure results. Let me give you an example. When COVID-19 emerged, the Rockefeller Foundation team pivoted our existing strategies and programs to help the United States and countries around the world respond. We identified an important solution: testing. Because the only way to bend the curve on a pandemic is to find out who is positive and where. But in April of 2020, only PCR tests were available, and those took about 3 days or even up to a week to return results. At that point, U.S. labs were performing 23 tests per million people, while South Korea was running 3,600 tests per million. We wanted to help dramatically increase the production of tests in the United States. So we released a report that called for more than tripling the administration of tests, from fewer than 1 million a week in early April to more than 3 million a week by the end of June, and nearly 30 million a week by October. And together with our partners, we outlined clear steps to achieve those goals. Then we built alliances of unlikely partners to grow support for our approach to testing. We pulled together a network of scientists, doctors, teachers, administrators, economists, and government officials to design testing protocols. We even brought Trump administration officials and teachers' unions together to pilot those protocols in schools so kids could safely return to their classrooms. Along the way, we measured what was working and responded to what wasn't. Within a year, the United States had the testing, production, and protocols needed to get students back in school. That's the kind of large-scale change a big bet can make. Lesson two, when you're searching for a solution, asking simple questions can cut through complexity and lead you to the answers you need. As they were standing up their foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates read an article in the New York Times about rotavirus, a diarrheal disease common in infants and young children. In the United States, very few, if any, children died from it. But in poor countries at the time, it killed up to 600,000 children every year. Shortly afterwards, the Gates invested $750 million to kickstart Gavi, a global alliance with the goal of vaccinating the 50 million children born every year who never received routine vaccinations. That investment revealed the complexity of the global vaccine system. a supply side that involved multinational companies, multilateral agencies, intellectual property laws, variegated policies, as well as a delivery system that involved a patchwork of aid groups, healthcare systems, transportation and refrigeration, and record keeping. For many, that complexity provided a reason for inaction or inadequate actions. But Bill used simple questions to cut through that complexity. He asked us over and over, how much would it cost to vaccinate a child? And therefore, how much would it cost to vaccinate all children? In seeking the answer to that question, we redid math that revealed cracks in the system. In the end, we found the answer. It cost about $84 to vaccinate a child in a poor country. It was a higher number than we hoped, but it also gave us a way forward. And our answers eventually revealed a path to vaccinating children that required finding significant, sustainable inflows of early capital. So we worked with partners to create an immunization bond. And together with the efforts of countries, UN agencies, and vaccine manufacturers worldwide, Gavi has immunized more than 980 million kids and saved 16 million lives during the last two decades. Bill would later say, "The barrier to change isn't too little caring, it's too much complexity." Simple questions can maintain a focus on the transformational, audacious goals that are the heart of big bets. And the answers, while imperfect, can create a roadmap for how to achieve them. Lesson 3. When you're recruiting partners, especially unlikely partners, you have to make it personal. In 2014, I was asked to speak at the annual National Prayer Breakfast. It was an exciting opportunity, but I was more than a little nervous. Mother Teresa had given the speech at one point. That's a tough act to follow. Just a few years before, I had upset many Republicans by accurately pointing out that a budget proposal in the United States Congress to cut USAID would kill 70,000 children in developing countries, as it would have led to reducing the size of life-saving vaccination, malaria, and maternal health programs. Those comments were based on USAID data at the time, but I did not deliver them with respect or in a tactful manner. While many progressives hailed my statements and invited me onto cable news, my comments had understandably made a lot of Republican leaders, including the Speaker of the House, upset. I had a choice. I could have doubled down and won partisan praise, or I could visit with those I offended, apologize, and learn about their personal values and commitments to our cause. I chose to make it personal. I worked to get to know what drove lawmakers' interest in the issues. I spent time with them, often traveling to their home districts or abroad, and I shared my own values and concerns. We even prayed together. In just a few years, I found many committed, if unlikely, allies in an increasingly polarized Washington. When I urged people at the prayer breakfast to come together as Good Samaritans to end extreme poverty, people of both parties stood up and cheered. And in the years that followed, conservative Republicans and progressive Democrats co-sponsored and passed important legislation to reestablish America as the world's humanitarian leader. I learned that opening up, being vulnerable, and making it personal was a path to building authentic relationships and trust, the most important elements of true collaborations. Lesson 4. When you're working on a big bet, you have to build experimentation and evaluation into everything you're doing. And you can only do that if you're focused on measuring results. Doing good is not good enough. You have to figure out how to track, share, and analyze data. During the fight against Ebola in West Africa in 2014, we were facing a problem. The CDC estimated we could have as many as 1.6 million cases, and that the pandemic could go global. A disease which caused a deadly hemorrhagic fever could spread around the world, including into the United States. The president and our team made a big bet that we would deploy U.S. troops and first responders into West Africa to beat back the pandemic there, to save lives and prevent it from spreading globally. But we didn't know exactly how to do that. The only previously validated solution, building Ebola treatment units and isolating people who were positive, was not going to work. We needed new solutions, but to find them, we first had to build a data system that allowed us to know who was sick and where, quickly. We deployed bioterror laboratories, used helicopters to transport blood samples, and asked young people on motorbikes to quickly confirm potential case reports and to text us with their observations. We put all of the data, even imperfect data, into a dashboard so everyone could operate with the same information. And we asked local communities to help design new solutions. We soon learned that carefully constructed burial teams could remove the bodies of those deceased, preventing 70% of the spread of the disease. Instead of 1.6 million cases, we ended Ebola in West Africa with just under 30,000 and prevented its further spread. Having the right data quickly proved critical to experimentation and problem solving in a fast-moving and deadly operating environment. Big bets require a commitment to measuring results in real time and learning from the data you collect. And the fifth and final lesson, working to make the world a better place changes you more than you might change the world. The best thing about working on big bets, bold efforts to make the world a better place, is that it can make life rewarding in a deeply personal way. It's easy to be cynical and to think you cannot make a difference, but then you learn you can. I was deeply inspired when Nelson Mandela visited Detroit when I was a kid. One stop on his triumphant US tour after his release from prison. I remember sitting on my family's couch in our living room watching every minute of the coverage of the visit, including his amazing speech at Tiger Stadium. Watching the visit, I realized that I wanted to do something meaningful with my life. But I had no idea what that meant, how to do it, or if I had what it took. Decades later, I took my kids to Robben Island to visit the prison in which Mandela lived for 27 years. I wrote the book, Big Bets, because I have learned that you do not have to be Nelson Mandela to make a difference in the world. You have it within you to solve the problems we face, and just trying to do so will change your life for the better. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Rajiv. That was five big ideas from Big Bets, How Large-Scale Change Really Happens by Rajiv Shah. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.